The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. If someone should ask you if you would like to live forever, if you would like to inherit eternal life, you would probably say, "Of course I would." Then if they should ask you, "How do you live forever? How do you inherit eternal life?" Could you answer that? Think about that now, my friends. Could you answer that? Could you tell someone the requirements that you must meet to inherit eternal life? Could you tell them the requirements you must meet before God, who is the only one that can give eternal life, would give you that gift? Salvation or eternal life is a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy eternal life or salvation. Well, then you may say, if I can't earn salvation or eternal life or buy it, then surely all I would have to do is just believe. That is the popular teaching. You have probably been taught that all your life. But is that teaching true? Does the Bible teach that? Have you ever made your own study about what you must do to live forever, to inherit eternal life, or to be saved? You have probably been taught that Christ did it all for you, and all you have to do is believe. And you probably believe that teaching. Have you ever thought, well, just maybe I should open my Bible to see if that teaching is true, due to the fact that my salvation, that my eternal life is at stake? Maybe I should open my Bible to find out for sure what I must do. Well, don't you care enough to prove for yourself what it takes to be saved? Can you carelessly assume you don't need to prove for yourself what is required of you before God will give you life? Should you believe just anyone's version or receipt for eternal life? There are many opinions out there. Which one will you accept? Now, it would be easy and pleasant to accept the one that says all you have to do to be saved or to inherit eternal life is just believe. Well, I ask you again, is that what the Bible teaches? That is a very important part for salvation. But is that all you must do? You should want to know the answer and be willing to dig for the truth and be willing to live by the truth, God's Word, as you understand it. Yes, as God gives you understanding, you must be willing to live by it and to embrace it before you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as God commands us to do. Now, let's look at a scripture that talks about belief. Notice this in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Yes, if you believe, you do well. James is telling us that that is a necessary part of the formula of salvation and eternal life. You must believe. But did you catch the rest of the statement in verse 19? He said, "Even the demons," meaning Satan and his demons, "believe and tremble." Notice that, my friends. He says Satan and his demons believe and tremble. The devil and his demons believe in the existence of God. He believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has no doubt about the virgin birth, the crucifixion, or the resurrection, and that Jesus Christ ascended back to God the Father in heaven. He believes and knows that the name of Jesus Christ is the only name by which you may be saved, and that he is going to return to this earth, resurrect the saints, and establish the kingdom of God on this earth. The devil believes every word of God. He knows all the true doctrines of the Bible. Now, is Satan and his demons saved, or will they be? But did you notice what all Satan believes? He believes all of these things that you and I embrace. But I ask you again, is Satan and his demons, are they saved, or will they be saved? What will be their fate? The Bible tells us, notice in Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. That's Revelation 20, beginning in verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while." Yes, after 1,000 years of confinement, Satan and his demons will be released for a very short time, probably 3.5 years. Notice verse 10, it tells us his final fate. Verse 10 of Revelation 20, "And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented," and that should be where the beast and the false prophet were, because they had been cast in the lake of fire at the return of Christ, which was 1,000 years prior to this time. And says they will be tormented day and night forever, speaking of Satan and his demons. Yes, this tells us Satan's fate as well as his demons. No, they aren't and won't be saved, because believing isn't enough to be saved. They refuse to obey God's word. So we began to see that belief without obedience is not enough. I hope you can understand that, my friends. Notice what James said in James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." James gives us a big part of the formula for salvation. Did you catch what verse 22 said? God is telling us that if we only hear God's word and don't live by it, but think all that we have to do is just believe, then God says we deceive ourselves. Well, do you think there's anyone out there today that's deceived, thinking that all they have to do is believe, that there's no spiritual growth, that they don't have to obey God's law, that they don't have to build God's mind and his character? Think about that, my friends. For just hearing or knowing God's word isn't enough. Satan and his demons have heard, and they believe, but they aren't doers of the word of God, and they have deceived Christianity to believe you don't need to obey God's word, at least 100% of God's word, such as obeying the Sabbath and annual holy days, or Passover, the night of the Passover, the way that God and Christ commands us to observe Passover, and that you don't have to obey God's law, all 10 commandments. That's what Satan wants you to believe. You see, the god of this world, which is Satan, wants you to have enough religion to make you think you are in the process of being saved, or that you are already saved just because you believe, and to make you feel good about your religious beliefs. If he can keep you deceived, he knows you won't search out true and pure religion. He knows you won't be coming out of his world, his system, which God calls a Babylonian system of confusion. And you can read in Revelation chapter 18, where God tells you, he says, "Come out of her, my people." Yes, if you want to be one of God's sons or God's daughters that inherit eternal life, God says, "Come out of her, my people." Speaking of this Babylonian system of confusion, he says, "Be not partakers of her sins, so that you receive not of her plagues." Yes, there's something that you must do, my friends. It takes much more than believing to inherit eternal life. Notice Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." In other words, will not have eternal life, is what Christ is saying. "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Yes, Christ is saying here that if you confess me and you say, "I believe and I give my heart to the Lord," he says that's not enough. He says if you want eternal life, then you must do the will of his Father in heaven. And that means to obey and live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes, he means those that claim to know and love the Lord and claim to be a Christian and know God's word and will, but won't obey God. God says that is not enough for eternal life. So Christ said, those who obey and do the will of his Father, which is to obey God's word, would inherit eternal life. Going on here in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your names?" In other words, haven't we used your name? Haven't we professed your name? Haven't we said, "I know the Lord and I believe," and so on? And notice what verse 22 says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," or "you who don't obey my commandments," is what Christ is saying here. And God says that sin is the transgression of the law. Lawlessness is transgression of the law. And he says, "I don't know you if you are breaking my laws and not having the type of attitude to obey me." He's telling you that believing isn't enough. Christ doesn't know anyone that doesn't obey. He can't have a relationship with workers of iniquity. God says he is with those that are with him. You can read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 if you'd like to read that. Those that are living with God and Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit, which he gives to those that obey him. Meaning if you are obeying God, then you are with him. But if you don't obey what God says and commands you to obey, you are against God. Notice Acts 5 and verse 32, "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Holy Spirit is the earnest of eternal life, but God says he only gives it to those that obey him. He doesn't say that I give my spirit to those that believe. Now, believing is a big part, but that isn't enough. God says he gives his spirit to those that are ready and willing to obey him, that's ready and willing to dress up and put on Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22 says this, "Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a deposit." Yes, God's Spirit is the earnest or the guarantee of eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5 says this, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So if you have God's Spirit and you continue to obey God, and God says he only gives his Spirit to those that do obey him, you have to continue to obey God to the end. Christ said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." So if you have God's Spirit and you continue to obey God, you continue to use God's Spirit, God says you will be saved if you endure to the end. Romans 8 and verse 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's pretty plain, isn't it? A five-year-old can understand what Christ is saying here. It takes more than just believing to have God's Spirit. Now, faith or believing is a big part of the formula of salvation and eternal life. But you have to repent and begin to change and be baptized and have hands laid on you by someone that has God's Spirit to receive the Spirit of God, to receive his Holy Spirit. That is God's requirement to receive the earnest of salvation. You have to turn from the way of sin to the way of righteousness, which is obedience to God's law. So you have your part to play to receive eternal life. The Bible says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Notice what it says here in Philippians 2, verses 12, verse 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Yes, God is saying that we have a part in it. We have to struggle and strive and work out salvation. Verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Well, my friends, I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. But in the meantime, if you'd like to know more and understand more about this topic, understand what's required for salvation, we invite you to request our free booklet, "What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation?" And "What Do You Mean Salvation?" So call us, the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Or to order online or to listen to pre-recorded programs, log on to our website, www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.